gets any better, we're not going to be able to stand it. But try us, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Let's pray and you can get. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, we thank you, Lord, that we place seed in the hand of a mighty God. You'll multiply it. You'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Take an offering for me, will you, Jack? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You missed one over here. Good ushers never miss the offering. Now you got it. Atta girl. Hallelujah. Thank you for that testimony, Janie. Glory to God. I know that a lot of us thought that winter had come to stay, but, you know, last few days of, you know, we have hope that summer's coming. You guys going downstairs with Debbie? Miss Debbie? Where did Miss Debbie go? She's already down there waiting on you. She's already down there waiting on you. She's down there waiting on you, I'm telling you. She's down there. Oh, no, she's not. Eli was right. What do I know? What do I know? There she comes. Make sure she stays in line, guys. Now, y'all ain't getting away from me like you did last week on me. You guys got way out of line last week. I'm gonna keep close reins. Like them jockeys on them horses. I don't know. I missed it. That's the first time I've missed it. Justified. Hey, we can. That'll preach. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. Hallelujah. Page 1330, if you got a Bible like mine. Matthew 21, page 1330. You got a Bible like mine, and many of you do. Hallelujah. This is the parable of the wicked vine dressers. And I'm going to try to spend quite a bit of time in the next month or so in the parables. Let's ask God to bless us. Father, we ask that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word this morning. Father, we just thank you that your Holy Spirit will teach us, lead us, and guide us in all your truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Verse 33 says, hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard, set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vine or of the vineyards comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. Now, did you see what they said when Jesus said, what shall be done to these wicked vine dressers? They were quick to say, these wicked men miserably, he will destroy them. Amen. But then Jesus said, he brings them back to that aha moment. He says, you remember the stone that the builders rejected? You know, that was he was taking them back to a prophecy in the Hebrew Bible. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. But now Jesus is telling them this parable of these wicked vine dressers and what they did in killing the servants and in killing the son. And they know he's talking to them. Amen. So they have a choice to make, do they not? Mm-hmm. And the choice they make is to try to plot a plan to kill him. Now let's go into the next parable because they go hand in hand. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. And when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus says, for many are called, but few are chosen. That's what I want to talk about to you this morning. Many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Amen. We know in this church we've got to do some things outside these four walls to bring people in. We are called to build the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And the kingdom of heaven is meaning lost souls, changing lives that we come in contact with. How are we going to change them? With the gospel of Jesus Christ. With the love and mercy of God that's been extended to us, that is in us when we extend it to other people. Amen? Now, with that said, let's go to our Hebrew Bible Page 538, 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. I probably would have been better served to finish it in Sunday school, but I didn't. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 13, if my notes are right. I want to show you three scriptures in the Hebrew Bible. Okay? It says, are you on page 538, verse 13? It says, O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Okay? Who done the choosing here? 13. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Who's doing the choosing here? God, exactly. God is doing the choosing. Now, let's go over to the Psalm, Psalm 135. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Psalms 135. Page 790. I'm on my game today. Not really. Let's start in verse 1. Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. Again, we find a second witness that God is doing the choosing here. Amen. All right? Now, I read you two parables earlier. There were the wicked vine dressers. The people who originally were called to the wedding, they made the choice not to go to the wedding. The evil ones, they made the choice not to listen to the servants of the man who owned the vineyard. Then not to listen to his son, that they made a choice. But here it says that God is choosing a people, all right? Let's go one more. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, that's page 920. Isaiah 41, and we'll look at verse 8. He says, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. Now we get the same verbiage, or the same words here. We get Israel is chosen, Jacob is chosen, but now Isaiah adds something else. The seed of Abraham are chosen. Now, with that said, let's go to Genesis chapter 15. I just got a couple more scriptures. Genesis 15. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you know that every day you get up, you have choices to make? Amen. Amen? You have the choice to get out of bed. Right? Or maybe you don't have that choice. But you make that choice. You make that choice to get dressed and to go out into the world again, to do your job or whatever it is you've got to do. But you make choices all day long. And you can look at me and know that at lunchtime I've been making some bad choices. There's just something about them extra crispy French fries and Heinz ketchup that I like. But that's not a good choice for me. Amen. But the point is, you make choices every day. Okay? And I'm going to go a step further now. You're going to make the choice every day to serve God or to not serve God. Amen. You make that choice when you get up. You can let the circumstance or the situation dictate whether you're going to be happy or sad, whether you're going to be mean and grumpy or put some joy in your heart. Did you know the joy of the Lord is your strength? You're going to make the choice whether you're going to have a pity party because of all the stuff that's been heaped up on you. You know, after 61 years, or 62, how old am I? I think I'm 61, I'll be 62, I think. See, how old's my, yeah, I'll be 62. You know, you're going to make the choice whether you're going to let all the world's junk come into your life and ruin your day and cause family problems, or you're going to make the choice to allow God to be your strength. And one of the things that I've learned in 62 years is that no matter what I'm going through, I'm not alone. There's somebody else going through something. Amen. And there's somebody else going through something. I have never seen in my time such an attack on God's people. Amen. Amen. So we're going to have to make a choice to serve God. Amen. Because you are the seed of Abraham, are you not? Aren't you chosen? Let me show you. I want to show you this. Here's what set Abraham apart. In Genesis 15, verse 5, he says, "Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" Now watch. "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." Amen. Abraham believed God. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, that word there is emunah, not believed. Certainly, believe is a part of it. You all know at this church that simply believing something is not enough. You must be faithful to believe it. Amen. Remember, God told Abraham, "You get up out of Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of your family, get away from your family, and come into a land that I will give you." Amen. So Abraham just didn't say, "Hey, I believe you, Lord," and keep fishing in the river, in the Tigris River, did he? No, he packed up, he crossed over. Not only did he believe God, but he was faithful to God. Yes. Amen? Yes. You with me? See, if you're going to believe God is your strength, God is your shield, God is going to be with you during the day, you got to get up and be faithful to God. Say, "God, I know this is going on in my family. I know this is going on my job. But you know what, God? I'm going to get up today and I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to put my smiley face on. Even if I don't feel like smiling, I'm going to let you stir my heart. I'm going to stir up some joy in me because, God, I am still born again. I am still filled with your spirit. The same power that resurrected you is dwelling in me, and I'm going to make a choice today that even though all hell is breaking loose in my life, I am going to be a servant of yours today." I like what Bishop Jake says. He says that you don't get oil out of an olive until it's been crushed. Amen. So maybe when the pressure's on, God's just trying to squeeze a little more of that fresh oil out of you. Amen. He's just trying to squeeze some of that fragrance of God out of you for somebody else. Christians, we get so selfish and self-centered sometimes, we think it's all about us. Listen, you chose to make him Lord. Did you hear what I said? You made him Lord. You put on those robes of righteousness. Now act like it. See, I'm preaching to me too, because I'm susceptible to getting into molly grubs. I'm susceptible to getting wore out. I'm susceptible to being cranky and grumpy. Thank you. But I have to choose not to be overwhelmed. I have to choose to trust him. You know, I'm going to tell you a secret. Debbie doesn't always act exactly the way I want her to act. And as good as Caleb is, he doesn't always act the way I want him to act. And if they were here, they would say, "You don't always act the way we want you to act." But you know what? It's a choice we make. If God is your strength, if the joy of the Lord is your strength, then let him be your strength. You know, what you magnify gets bigger. If you magnify God, he'll get bigger in your life. If you magnify the problem, the problem's going to get bigger. I've preached enough. I better move on. Okay. Abraham was faithful. Amen? Amen. We must be faithful. But it's because Abraham was faithful that God made those promises to him. Now look, let's jump over to Galatians. I tell you, Galatians never was a favorite book of mine, but as I've been studying sonship for the last 6-7 weeks, Galatians is starting to be one of my faves. Galatians, page 1633. How about that? Chapter 3, verse 5, we'll start. And then we're going to go to my favorite all-time parable. And it's, Jesus said it's the most important parable. Does anybody know what parable that was? You'll have to wait till we get there. What? The sower. It's exactly right. The sower and the seed. All right. Verse 5, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. If you jump over to verse 26, Paul says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Messiah Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Messiah, have put on Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Messiah Jesus. And if you are Messiah's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Ooh. See, you are Abraham's descendant. Not because of your DNA, but because of your faith. Amen. Amen. And you will be blessed with Father Abraham. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I want you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. I want to show you how this works, how it's supposed to work. Mark chapter 4, and let's go to verse 1. Let's just go to verse 2. We'll go to verse 1. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, let me tell you about ears here. First of all, ears in the Hebrew actually carries the idea of balance or weighing something out. You know, our ears, if you have an ear infection, you might lose your balance. Or some people lose hearing in an ear, have trouble with their balance. So the idea of hearing here with the ear is this, that you're weighing out the matter. You're listening to the word, okay? Back when they used to use weights and measures, you know, the scales, you know, they would sometimes, some people would drill out a hole in a stone in the weight and replace it with something heavier, you know, or they might make it lighter. But then other people figured out how they could make their crops heavier, you know. So there was always trying to, you know, beat the man, and the man was always trying to beat them. Okay, so when the idea of what Jesus says, if you have ears, hear, weigh out the matter. Okay, weigh it out. He and the word hear is the word shema, and it means to hear with the heart. And when you hear with the heart and you're weighing out the matter, it's supposed to provoke you to a response. The response to the word of God is always to be obedience, right? Amen. Amen. But God made you with the ability to choose. Okay? So the parable is some of that seed fell on hard soil, right? Amen. That's a picture. That soil is a picture of the heart and how the word of the sower is God. And the seed is the word, and the soil is a heart, and that's that hard-hearted person. They don't want to hear anything. So that word gets sowed, and immediately the fowl of the air come and they devour it. Amen. You know, I was talking to a young lady this week. I'm supposed to meet real soon with her and her husband, because they're having some difficulties. Okay. And they're having difficulties, and I'm really concerned. I'm really concerned because he may be too far gone. That heart's hard. Yes. You know, he may not want to receive anything. Amen. You know, and when that heart's hard, and you know, how many have you ever known somebody that got hurt? Somebody hurt them, mm-hmm. And because they didn't forgive. That heart gets hard, and they don't have any patience for anybody else, or they won't allow anybody else close to their heart, and won't allow anybody else in. See, it's a choice we make. But then there was the ground that was stony, and Jesus says some of it sprang right up, but because it didn't have root, it couldn't get the water out of the soil, the nutrient, and the sun just withered it. And then there was some that falls by the wayside. You ever seen a garden? If you look at a garden, you look at the corners of that garden, there'll always be weeds in the corners. Okay? And some of that seed falls over there, you know, and those weeds spring up and they choke it out. And those weeds represent the cares of our life. Not only the cares of our life, but it represents those things we put ahead of God. Things we care about that we put ahead of God. That will choke out that word of God. But then Jesus said, but some falls into good soil. And it produces some 30, some 60, some 100-fold return. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you ever heard that verse of Scripture used in taking up an offering? Anybody? Am I the only one? Huh? No, we've heard it all our lives. Jesus is not talking about money. This is not money. This is about the word of God producing the fruit of God in your life. And some people it produces a 30-fold return in their life. Some people a 60-fold. Some people a 100-fold. You with me? It just depends on how much you're going to put into that word, and how much you're going to put into your relationship with God is going to be determined with how much fruit that seed of that word produces in your life. Amen? Because if you're one of those people that gets up in the morning and chooses to be grumpy and hateful and mean, well, you just went from 100-fold down to 30. And if you don't pull yourself out of it before you get out the door, then birds of the air is going to eat that seed. It'll be gone. Now, let's look what Jesus says. Look over here in verse 13. The disciples are asking him, hey, tell us about this parable. Look what Jesus said in verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? Wow. He puts a heavy revy on this parable. You don't get this one, you're not going to get any of them. Amen. Then he says, the sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. See, I knew two guys. I had two guys come to me. Both of them were in Jackson. Had two guys come to me, and they'd gotten saved. I mean, they got saved. But they had the itch to preach. I said, boys, I'll let you testify, but you just got saved. I said, really? I said, I don't want to dampen your enthusiasm, but that's what you got right now. You've got a little zeal. You don't have much wisdom. I said, I'll be glad to let you testify and let you tell people what God's doing in your life. And you know what? Before they could get a chance to testify, they was back doing what they was doing before. See, they sprang right up. But then the sun withered them away again. Then Jesus goes on to say, in verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Wow. Now, we've been talking about the need to get outside these four walls. The Word of God tells us that if we're born again, we're filled with the Spirit, we are the sons of God. Right? Is that not what it says? Yeah. Okay. Do we believe we are sons of God?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Got it. Lord, you're my witness. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Well, then you've got to know that for the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been talking about what sons do. And sons continue the house. They build the house, and the house continues. Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He was here to build and restore the house of God. Amen. Well, if we're going to be sons of God, we know this, then we have to have the mindset that we're going to build the house of God. We're going to build the kingdom of God. Remember that one, that parable was the parable of the wedding feast. The parable, that was a kingdom parable. And so was the one with the vine dressers. Those parables are given to us by Jesus to show us how the kingdom of God works. Mm-hmm. Amen. How many know there is a wedding someday?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we who are the sons of God will be invited to that wedding. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. That'd be a great time, won't it? So if we're truly sons of God and the word of God is working in us, then we ought to be willing to go to work in the kingdom of God. We ought to be willing to do our part. No matter how small or how big, we ought to be willing to do our part to build that kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. As we build that kingdom, The Word of God is producing 30, 60, and 100 fold in our lives. Now, we know there's issues. He's fine. Trust me, my wife can handle them too, okay? All right? I'm almost done. I got your mom one day too. She was quicker than you though, actually, but I reeled her back. If you knew our boys and what they all been into, them too. That's Debbie's perfect age right there. Where's I at? Oh, the Word of God producing fruit in our lives. If we're not fruit producers, we're not going to build the kingdom. Right. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Jackie has done this outreach on Memorial Day weekend for years. Mm-hmm. Okay? And she's never really had, until she came here, any church folk that really jumped in and helped you. Oh, they baked a cake here and there and done some little things. Okay? But she does that on Memorial Day weekend. She caters to the kids. It's down there, what is that park called?
Ninth Street Park.
Okay? And this year it's going to be a little tougher for her because they're not having the basketball tournament.
I think they are.
Oh, you think they are?
Yeah, because just a couple of days ago we found out Tony's on the job again. He's back and he's full of vinegar. And
maybe I can get him in church. He's full of something. We won't go there. He's full of something. I didn't give no last name. Full of something. Hallelujah. You know, somebody's probably saying that about one of us. You know, not me. No, just kidding. He's full. But anyway, it would be really nice if we could help her on that Saturday and a little bit on Sunday afternoon, just 3 hours from 1 to 4, you know, if we could help her. And we need to come up with some ideas. Kind of, Jackie does some games, but it, you know, if anybody here is good at teaching children, we'll incorporate you. Or if anybody's here good at building crafts, kind of like a little mini Bible school, you know. If anybody's here good at building crafts or coming up with crafts, we want to talk to you, okay? Because I'm giving you a chance for the Word of God to produce some fruit in your life. Because I'm telling you, once you get some of that fruit going and you see how you can touch other lives, it's addictive.
It is.
I'll tell you the truth. Not everybody's called to preach, but we are all called to produce fruit.
Amen.
Amen. But I remember a guy named Junior Totten. He took me to the Kanawha County Jail. We walked around that jail. I never seen so many miserable guys in my life. And he invited them all to church. And he told me, he said, "You won't preach, you just come down and see how we do it." And so we got there, and there was an old boy on a guitar, and there was about 40 inmates there. And old Junior said, "I've got a good friend of mine." I mean, I hadn't known Junior but a month, you know. But I was glad he thought of me as a good friend. He said, "I got a good friend of mine, Brother Butch Deer. He's from Ironton, Ohio. He's going to bring you the word tonight." Wait a minute, I thought you said I wasn't preaching. I mean, I didn't say it, but in my mind, I'm like, and all I could hear was instant in season and out. Boy, I was not ready for this. You know, yeah, I'd worked 12 hours on midnights at Ashland Oil, got about 4.5 hours sleep, and there I was at Kanawha County Jail. And I don't know what happened that night, other than I preached on the prodigal son, and this guy, this big Italian-looking guy, he's about twice my size. He wasn't fat. He was huge. And his hair was all greasy. And he gave his life to the Lord, started sniffling and crying, and he grabbed me, and he pulled me into his chest, and he just bawled like a baby. And then there was another guy, did the same thing. He wasn't quite as big, but he wouldn't let go of me. Now, the second guy, I would run into him when we went to the Huttonsville prison. He got some time. The bigger guy didn't. Okay? But I'd run into the other guy at the Huttonsville prison. He'd always come up and hug me and thank me. And from that point on, I was hooked. I have to be a fruit producer in the kingdom of God. And that's what it's all about, producing fruit in the kingdom of God. Amen? And you have to let that word produce in your life. But it's not sitting at home. Who's going to eat your fruit? It's getting out there. Amen? So Jackie needs some help. When we get done with this service this morning, you go see her and tell her what you're capable of doing or willing to do. Okay? We have a cotton candy machine. We'll make some cotton candy. Okay? Don't think you can't do something. Okay? But you know, we just need to help her. It's a good way to reach out to kids, and we'll come up with some ideas. So next, Wednesday night, please show up if you can help Jackie, and we will discuss it Wednesday night after service. Okay? Yeah. What? The pictures, yeah. Yeah, we still need to bring, not Mother's Day, that's the veterans. Yeah, you need to bring pictures in, and you need to get them in this week to Terry. If you've got a loved one, that served in the military and has passed on, we want to get a picture, and we need to have them by next Sunday so Terry can make a memorial video out of it. And we want to honor those who served and have died. Okay? That's what a memorial is. Huh? Wednesday would be great. Yep, right on the back who it is and who that picture belongs to. And what war they fought in. Okay? Amen? Do what? Yeah, and what branch of service they were in. Write that on there too. Okay? And see, that's a good way, if you're going to honor somebody, that's a good way to tell your family, hey, we're going to honor your dad or whatever, to invite him to church that Sunday. Okay? Somebody say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let me serve you communion. Hallelujah. Caleb? Go downstairs and make sure everybody's okay. Hallelujah. Here, Jackie. Gracie, help her, please. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. You stole my thunder. Well, you didn't steal my thunder, if that's all you're saying. Lori was pinned Friday night. She has finished her Bachelor of Nursing degree. Amen. Well, we will honor you and Caleb and any other seniors that we might have on that same Sunday Memorial Day weekend. Will you be here? Amen. All good. Everybody been served? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus. We thank you. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed and made whole. And on the night that Jesus took bread and broke it and told his disciples, "This is my body," he said, "Take and eat." He said, "When you do this in remembrance of me." So this morning, Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you, that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest interceding for us, and that you are a soon coming king. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Hold your cup up. You ready? On three, we're going to say L'chaim. One, two, three. L'chaim. To life. We know that at Calvary, Jesus poured out his life, that we could be partakers of that life. We also know that this cup represents the fourth cup in the betrothal process, a cup in which the bride-to-be would drink, symbolizing her faithfulness until he comes. Lord Jesus, this morning, we're about to drink of your life as a vow of our faithfulness until you come. Take and drink. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. So, if you can, yes. Yeah. For you. Come, Lord Jesus.